Welcome to the Atlanta Dream Center podcast. Here you can listen to our recent sermons. Our hope is that today you are transformed by Jesus and you grow in your walk with Christ. If you would like to learn more about our church, please visit our website, atlantadreamcenter.com. Grab a pen, put in your headphones, and let's dig into the Word.
Hi, everyone. Hey, grab a seat closer to somebody. If you're not sitting with someone, sit with them. Don't sit by yourself. This is church. Okay. Hi, everybody. So listen, I'm long-winded, and I'm going to actually try to get through this thing. And so I'm going to start right away. How many of you guys enjoyed Pastor Clarence last week, though? Isn't he great? Yeah. Okay. That was messed up. Yeah. I thought Pastor Clarence was great. Yeah. PC killed it last week. He was off the chain. I really love Pastor Clarence speaking. He's kind of a power speaker. We're going to pick up in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to verse 17 through 21. We're going to read that here in a second. But before I go into that, Pastor Clarence ended with some questions. And I can't see them, so I'm going to refresh this. Hang on, everybody. His questions were simple. They were great. He says, are you trusting in your relationship with Jesus, or are you hiding behind your performance for him? How many of you guys like to feel good about your performance? Anyone in here? I do. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to trust your relationship with Christ over that. He says, what are you holding on to that you need to be to let go of? Last two questions were, right now, are you surrendered to Jesus? Are you still trying to prove yourself to him? And lastly, if Jesus looked at your life today, what would he say? Would he say, I know you, or would you be pointing to everything you've done for him? It's a great sermon last week. Can I open my water up real quick? All right, check this out. We're going to go to verse 18 of chapter 3 of Philippians. If you need my notes, they're on the Church Center app right in the front. So you could click on it. It'll pull them right up. We're going to get in. Now, my notes are short because I didn't spend a lot of time on my notes today, but I want to read this to you. It says this in verse 18. I'm going to verse 17. Verse 17, it says this. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, and I will say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. All right, let me pause for a second. I want to point out just two things really fast. Now listen, time out. I'm on the floor. That means I can see you. That means I need you to react. I need you to talk to me a little bit, okay? Because if you don't, look at the head shakes. Okay, thanks, guys. Now, and this is why, because I don't like being on the stage on Wednesdays. It's not right, all right? But sometimes I think the stage gives you this like fourth wall that it feels like you're watching somebody, right? As if I'm not in the room with you. I'm here, flesh and bone with you, all right? So yeah, thank you, Bradley. Hi, Bradley, what's up, dude? Long time no see, my dog. Not, I don't know if it's you, it's probably me, but whatever, what's up? All right, first and foremost, I want to say this. I just saw this. Now, this is 2026, so hearing a pastor talk about what he saw on TikTok is, I hope, normal by now. But I just saw this lady get on the microphone, and she's like, I got to tell you about this pastor, this extremely toxic pastor. He literally got on the stage and told the congregation, I want you to imitate me as I follow the Lord. I follow the Lord so good, I want you to imitate me. And that same pastor got up on the stage, and at one point, because someone was in sin, he blasted them and said, you need to kick that guy out of the church. And he actually had a guy kicked out of the church because he had a sin issue. That same pastor, this is crazy, that same pastor went around, well, actually, I'm not going to go anymore. I can't remember everything she said, but she brought up all these things, and she said that pastor was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was the one who said those things. He was the one who said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's the one who said, man, I think those people should mutilate themselves for teaching a wrong gospel. He wasn't loving and kind. I actually love that she said this because she said something that's going to come up in this sermon tonight because we're going to read about this behavior of the enemies of the cross. She said, it's really easy to listen about slander and about how a pastor or a Christian believer or Christians are so terrible by like unbelievers and how they frame it. But you shouldn't be looking for salacious news. You should be looking for people with good fruit. And some of us like to listen for the salacious news, but never look at the fruit of the person who's talking about it. And I'm gonna say this because I've had a lot of experience in my own personal life being someone who done this and been around a lot of people. When I'm the least Christian, when I'm the most full of my flesh, in my past, when I was younger, when I was obsessed with like wanting to impress others, when I was, as this scripture says, living for today, not living for eternity, I'm gonna be honest with you. I was not bearing good fruit, and I talked the most trash about other believers. I would talk trash about the church. I would say, oh, the church is really messing up. The global church is what I would talk about, the global church. I'd always talk about how messed up the global church is and all these things. And I'd always talk so much trash, yet I had no fruit. And it reminds me of that scripture where Jesus is speaking. He says, hey, before you get the plank out of your friend's eye, I'm sorry, get the speck out of your friend's eye, get the plank out of your own eye. Then, check this out, then you could help the one who has a speck in their eye. That scripture is not about not helping people or not judging people. It's about, no, care first about your personal walk so that you can help other people with their personal walk. Now, I just brought that up because I thought it was really great, honestly. But I want to just point this out to you. Paul literally says, pattern your life or imitate me. Be like me. How many of you guys want to be so Christian that you could say that with confidence? Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm the only one? Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I want to live that radical that I would be confident enough to say, hey, just imitate me, dude. I got it. Come on, come with me. We got this thing. But this is what he says, and I've talked about this in the end series, but I got to say it again. In verse 18, he points out something I think that should shake you a little bit to the core. He says with tears in his eyes, he's not saying this with haughtiness. He's not saying this about these people who live this backslidden life. He says with tears in his eyes. He says, I'm heartbroken. And I want to say this really quick because I think this is important, talking trash about people. Some of us look at unbelievers or people who are in the church. I know a bunch of these guys who are in the church and they didn't live for Christ. And some of them have really salacious stories, terrible stories. And we don't talk about them with a broken heart. We talk about them, honestly, with a little bit of like an edge to it. I can't believe so-and-so walked away from the Lord. I can't believe so-and-so is professing Christ, yet is sleeping around. We're not heartbroken for them. No, we like this juice. We like this tea. Now, I want to say this. This is a sign of really loving your brothers and sisters. When you see them falling away from the Lord, you don't step back and go, oh my gosh, did you hear about so-and-so? No, you're broken for them. Oh Lord, I pray that you will help us, Jesus, see how crucial it is that we love our brothers and sisters so much so that when they start falling away, they start living as enemies of the cross, that we wouldn't talk about them with like haughtiness, but God, we would talk about them with a broken heart. We love that great. But he says, there's these people, many of them whose conduct, that's behavior, how they act shows they are really enemies of the cross. And then, I want to just tell you what they do. He says, their God is their appetite. Gluttony, their God, was the deciding factor of how they behave is whether or not they got food in their stomach, whether or not they get what they want. This is how they behave. Whether or not they get what they want dictates their attitude. It dictates how they treat other people. This is what it means when their God is their stomach or their appetite, that there are people who are dictated. That means their attitude, their emotions, how they treat other people, their outlook on life is dictated by what? What you desire, your personal desires, whether or not you get them. He says they brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. He says, these guys are enemies of the cross and this is their behavior. Now I wanna remind you what an enemy is. I know I've already covered this, but I wanna remind you. An enemy is not someone who has a personal charge against you. Now, if I was to ask you in this room, how many of you guys got three enemies in your life? How many of you guys can imagine three enemies? A few of you said, yeah, okay, you got some rough past. Okay, I like that. How many of you guys could say you have five enemies in your life? All right, I'm gonna tell you right now, you got a lot more enemies than you think. Because this is how you think of an enemy. Everyone in here, you think of an enemy as someone who's personally, emotionally charged against you. It's personal, that they're actually against you. But you know this with war, you guys know this with any time, like in the Revolutionary, actually, I'll use the World War II, great book. Can't remember the name of it, but I read this book. I've already talked about it, but I'll hit it one more time. He says that he's in the military. He's at war in Germany at the front lines, and he could hear the German soldiers praying to Jesus while he's on his line praying to Jesus. Both of them are enemies, but not because of Christ. In fact, outside of that war, they probably would have been good friends. In fact, honest truth, because the guy kind of went through a whole dilemma after hearing that, because he started realizing these are not my enemies, these are my brothers in the Lord. But all of a sudden you realize, well, then what is an enemy? An enemy is not someone who's personally charged. That man in the military had no personal, like, I got to get these people because these people are this to me. No. It's this. It's allegiance. It's allegiance and position is what makes an enemy. Allegiance and position make an enemy in your life. Now, I want to ask you this question. Who are you, who's your allegiance to? If I was to ask you guys that right now, who you guys have allegiance to? Go ahead. I want to tell you every enemy you have. Everyone who has a different allegiance than you. That's what an enemy is. Now, your first instinct in your flesh is a thing. An enemy is someone that you're supposed to be opposed to as well. No, we're Christians. You know what we do with our enemies? We love them. No, we love them dearly. When they ask of us, you know what we do? We bless them. When they say, hey, will you walk with us a mile? We say, no, well, I'll walk 2 miles with you. Our perspective of an enemy is not that they're opposition. Our perspective of an enemy is that I was an enemy towards God and he loved me. May I do the same as my master. Now, why am I saying this? Because this scripture says these are enemies of the cross. And he says, with tears in my eyes, I know that there's many around you that they're proclaiming. The idea is that they're proclaiming. They're self-describing themselves as believers. But their behavior says that they're opposed, that their allegiance isn't with God. Their allegiance is over themselves. This scripture freaks me out. Because I read this, right? If I go back and I read this really quick to you, this first part, their God is their appetite. The one who directs them. How many of you guys have ever tried to fast? Anyone in here try to fast? Come on, this is a fasting church. We fast like every month. You should be fasting. How many of you guys have ever got fasting and all of a sudden, and I got kids, right? When I first started fasting, I'm gonna be real with you. I was super short with my kids. I was mad at my wife for no reason, just because I was hungry. You guys know what I'm talking about? Huh? Yeah, I was greedy. Absolutely greedy. When I'm hungry, I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm hungry, I don't want to pray. When I'm hungry, I don't want to think about the good things in this world. No, when I'm hungry, you know what I'm thinking? How can I get something for me? What is that? It's me. When I'm fasting, I'm literally fighting an idol in my life, my appetite. And let me just throw something to you because I think this is important when it comes to fasting. Your body will live perfectly fine if you don't eat for 24 hours. There's nothing in your body's gonna shut down. Do you know that? Nothing. Like you're not going to, like if you don't eat for 24 hours, you're not going to starve. And what do we say? I'm starving to death. That's what we say. No, you're not. One day of night, your body is meant for that. But check out how much control the appetite of our body has. Most of us in this room have not gone 24-hour fast in the last 5 years. That's crazy because appetite is your God. You can pray all day as long as your other God is satisfied. You can rejoice all day as long as your other God is satisfied. Can I talk about idols for a second? Idols were not a big problem to God because they stopped worshiping God and they would go and worship idols. That's not what was the issue. The issue with those idols was that they loved God, but they also loved other gods. And this is why the Lord would say, you're a harlot to me. If you read the old text of the prophets, he would always say to Israel, you guys are adulterers, not sexually immoral, no, adulterers. You have a commitment with me, yet you run to these other gods. Yet you're always relying on all your comfort. You want, you know, then scripturally speaking, in Egypt, if they wanted children, they said, I love the Lord God Almighty, his Yeshua. I love him, but I want children. So I'm going to go to this other God. And I'll lay before them. Or maybe it was like, I want my harvest to be blessed. They would go to this other God. Or they would go, you know what? I love you, God, but I need to sacrifice my child to Moloch so that I could get my blessings from him and we could have a good harvest as a nation. And his problem wasn't that they were abandoning him. The problem with idol worship was they thought they needed more than just him. And this is idol worship even today. It's not, I don't think idol worship is that a lot of you guys are, you know, I'm talking about in the church. I'm not talking about in the world. I think a lot of people who deal with idols, I don't think they're going home and they're, you know, they're saying, I don't like God, and they're worshiping stones or whatever. But I do know Christians who are saying, yeah, God, you're the God of peace, but I need sage in my house to make sure the evil spirits are gone. God, I know you're the God of peace, but I can't have peace until my house is perfectly organized. God, I know you're the God of peace, but will you make my kids shut up? Because peace to me is quiet and getting my own way so I can watch my Netflix show without any interruption. And what do we have? We have the God of our appetites. He says, don't you see that these are the people who are the who have a different allegiance? You know why the scripture is so important to me? Because it puts weight to what it means to be a friend of the cross. It's not someone who just recognizes his goodness. No, no, no. It's someone who has allegiance to it. Father, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever is in your plan, I want to be a part of it. Man, forget everything else. My allegiance isn't even to myself. No, I'm positioned behind you. Your ways are actually better. Not second to my ways. Not second to my appetite. No, no, your ways are better. And he goes on. Here's another one. They brag about shameful things. That's crazy. This is the enemy of the cross. I want to say this again. This isn't personally charged against God. No, this is positionally wrong. This is allegiance to something outside of the King of Kings. This is a sign that God is their appetite and they brag about shameful things. Now, I don't know if you're dealing with this, but I'm going to just say this as believers. You know what a believer brags on more than anything else? You know what a believer brags on? And honestly, you know these believers, what'd you say? My God, my God, my God. Now legit, I get around a lot of Christians who love the Lord. Miss Barbara and Gary Wilder, they're probably watching right now. I love these guys. Every time I talk to them, you know what they brag about? Oh, Pastor Tom, God is doing a new thing down here in Panama. Oh, Pastor Tom, God is so good to us. I've never even heard a complaint from them. You know, I've been around other people where it's like a bragging contest to talk about how miserable your life is. You guys know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm just so tired because my job's got this, this, and that. Chapter 4, we're going to read it here in a second. He says, man, I want to encourage you. You guys need to be rejoicing. There's so many of us want to talk about all we want to brag about, and I'm saying shameful things. Let me just make this clear. All the misery in your life isn't real great stuff. I would call that shameful things. Bro, you got a miserable boss? Don't go brag about it. Don't go boast about how you have a miserable boss, but you're doing, you know, but I'm going to just keep working. It's like, no, 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 no. Brag about the things that matter. Christ. Man, make it your goal. Last one, because I don't want to stay here all night. And they only think about this life here on earth. Dude. I don't have to speak on this long. I already did a whole sermon series on this. Brother, let me tell you, when you know that your allegiance is before the Father, that you are positioned towards God, that you are no longer an enemy. Let me tell you how you know. When you don't live for this life anymore. No, no, no. You live for the eternal things. Read verse 20. We're not them. We are citizens of heaven. Bro, I want to make this as clear as possible. I might be a citizen of the United States of America because I was born here. I might be a citizen, but bro, I don't have allegiance here. My allegiance is to the kingdom of God. And so what do? I'm a citizen there. And what does he say? And we are eagerly waiting for him to return. It's not a passive waiting. This is when you know you really believe this thing. That you're not so concerned about what your 5-year plan is or whether or not you hit that great goal in front of you, or whether or not you have that stage, or whether or not you have that happiness because you've got that white picket fence and that house and your retirement. No, no, no. You are a believer of Christ. You are a friend of the cross. Brother, you're going, man, I just want Jesus to show up. Man, okay, yeah, that's great. Gas prices are high. Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for Jesus. I wish these prices would come down. No, no, no. I'm waiting for Jesus. This is what I'm eagerly waiting for. The rest will burn. He's providing for me. I'm going to be fine in the midst of all this stuff. I read in the book of Exodus how all the plagues came upon Egypt, but Israel was unaffected. I know I'm going to be just fine. I'm his child. I'm his. I'm eagerly waiting his return. I want to really put this to you. When's the last time you actually were excited thinking about his return instead of thinking, well, I don't know when it's going to happen, so let me build my life here. He says, these guys, they think only about this life here on earth. You know what most Christians think about heaven? It's a blip. They have no idea about the rewards and the crowns and the different things that God will give to people in heaven based on their life here. All they think about is if I could just get in. And in their head, it's kind of this like bland thing. You're gonna get up there, there's gonna be a mansion, I guess, you know? He says he's building a mansion, the streets are gold, so I guess gold doesn't matter up there. Some people have thought, I'm just gonna pray, and it's not even appealing to you. Because if you have to pray for eternity in heaven, you can't even pray for 10 minutes without getting bored here. That sounds miserable. And so what do? We don't wanna think about heaven. I know too many Christians who are not even thinking about the new heaven and new earth. It's a far off thought. No, no, I'm only thinking about right now. I gotta get right here. He says, no, no, no. Those who are enemies, who don't have the allegiance, who aren't positioned with the Lord, he says, they only think about this. That's all they got. That's all they live for. Getting to heaven, well, that's just about, you know, getting to church on time, paying your tithes, not having a too bad of a morals. Now I'll get into heaven, but that's secondary to right now. He says, not us. Not us who are the Lord's. No, 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 no. We eagerly wait for him. We eagerly wait for him to take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. The only people I hear ever talk about this are people in pain. Those are the only people I ever hear talk about that. Do you know God's going to give you a new body? Some of us are like, I like my body. I'm healthy. Meet someone who's in pain. You can really believe this thing. He's going to give you a new body. No more weak mortal bodies. He's going to change it like his, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Now, I want you to go to the next chapter, chapter 4. Therefore, everyone say therefore. That was not everyone. Let's try that again. There, everyone say therefore. All right, this next verse right here. This, therefore, my dear brother, this is continuance. Remember, the Bible is not chapter and verse. And this is a letter. Going from what he just talked about, enemies of the cross, but not us. He says, guys, you're not enemies of the cross. You're citizens of heaven. So my dear brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you. Stay true to the Lord. Yours might say, stand firm in the faith. I love this scripture. He says, man, there's all these people who are doing this, but not us. You and I, we're citizens of heaven. He's coming back. We're eagerly awaiting his return. He's going to give us new bodies. Therefore, stand firm. Stay true. Can I talk about casual Christianity really quick? How many guys are married? Married people? What's up, married people? Yeah, what's up? Okay. Now, do you guys, how many guys have ever, actually, let me just get everyone involved. How many guys have ever been in love? Yeah, yeah. Isn't that so funny? You're like, I don't know. Some of you guys are like, I don't know. Hey, listen. There's this real excitement. All right, me and Susie are coming up on our 16th year. We have a long time to go. We're still babies in marriage. I just want you to know that. But we're coming up on our 16th year. Now, when we first got married, everything was giddy, you know? Like, we'd wake up in the morning, like, I can't believe we're married. Isn't this great? The first day after our marriage, you know what we did? We went to Costco and bought a 32-inch television. Isn't that crazy? For $180 or something like that. And we watched I can't remember the show. It was some stupid show. Every day, I would come home. Susie would be making the crazy, Susie could cook, y'all. You guys don't know that. Crystal doesn't know that. Crystal thinks that she doesn't use salt. She doesn't, but she used to. She used to. That's not a joke, actually. She doesn't use salt anymore, but she used to. I mean, it would be like the best meals. Tables would be set. I'd come home. It was like, it was Every day was like a party. But what started happening? You guys, if you've been married for more than 10 years, more than 5 years, you know this. All of a sudden, it's like you come home. There's not this beautiful dinner. There's not me like making sure that I fix everything in the house. What happens? You start getting casual, right? You start getting casual. If you've ever been in a relationship, this is what you do. If you've ever had a father or a mother who raised you, and when you're a kid, they mean everything to you. By the time you're a teenager, it becomes casual. And all of a sudden, now that the love is gone, but all of a sudden, you're not staying true. You're not holding the line. The line's getting slack. And all of a sudden, staying out a little bit later because you just want to hang out with your friends becomes more available to you later in your marriage or whatever it might be. He's saying this in Christianity. He's saying, yo, listen, we're eagerly awaiting Christ. Don't get slack. Don't get slack. But Tommy, people have been preaching for so long that Jesus is coming. He's not coming. He says, no, bro. He is coming, and don't get slack on this thing. Stay true to it. Be intentional about standing firm. As in, like, don't grow weak in your walk with Christ. Do you remember when you first became a Christian? Some of you guys were people who would weep at the altar every night. When those doors would open, you would run in. Now you don't want to put on worship music in your house because you're done with it. This is what Paul's attacking. Say, no. Get yourself in order. Stand firm. No. Be people who are looking at this going, I'm going to stay true to this thing. Listen, I know too many Christians who at one point said, God, send me anywhere. And now are going, God, I don't want anything to do with you. Who are up at these altars. I mean this. These altars. Who are saying, God, I would give up my life to you. And are now literally middle finger to the Lord saying, know what? I want my same-sex relationship. You know what? I want these things. Forget you. What happened? They became slack. They relaxed in their walk. And I'm not saying that's your destiny. What I'm saying is, though, you got to recognize that just because you're in it today doesn't mean you'll be in it tomorrow. And that 1,000 decisions from now, you might be a totally different person. Stand firm in this thing. He's going to return and give you a new body. He's going to give you rewards in heaven. He's going to bless you and call you his son. Don't get slack. Stand firm. I will read my Bible today. No, I'm not going to be slack on that no more. No, I will pray. Pause real quick. Me, can I share about you and me and Jada talking about prayer and the hour prayer thing? Is that okay if I bring that up? Thank you, Jada. JoJo wasn't listening. We were talking about prayer team, and we're like, hey, we need some standards. And I just threw something out there, and it convicted me. I was like, well, just, you know, what if, like, if you want to be on the prayer team, you have to have a prayer life of at least 1 hour a day. And I said that, and I seriously thought, man, I need to be praying 1 hour a day. Now, I don't think that's the standard of the prayer team, but I thought, man, if that becomes the standard of the prayer team, what am I looking like if I don't pray 1 hour a day? Now, I want to be honest with you. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Prayer will not happen to you. Prayer is not something that happens to you. You don't become so in love with Jesus that you start praying. No, it's like, no, you discipline yourself. You say, no, I will pray today. So I started deciding, man, I'm going to start trying to pray 1 hour a day. I want to tell you right now, you know how easy it is to get slack on 1 hour a day of prayer? Almost every day, I'm finding reasons not to do it. I have to encourage myself. No, I need to pray. And now I'm going to be real with you. I haven't hit 1 hour a day every day. I keep skipping it. I keep thinking, well, I got to eat lunch. What is this? It's I'm slack on a very small subject. Now, I know for everyone in here, 1 hour of prayer every day seems like a lot. Not when you recognize that you're a citizen of heaven. And everything else is going to pass away. But why am I bringing that up for? I'm just bringing that up for this one reason. So many of us find every reason to be slack in our walk. No. Be people who find a reason to stand firm in it. Read daily. No. Pray daily. No. Forgive people. No. Do whatever it takes. Stand firm. Therefore, this is because he's returning. Brothers, stay true. Now I want to read this because this is very important. He's going to apply it. He says, I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Check this out. Stay true. Ready for this? Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers whose names are written in the book of life. I love this. Notice, it doesn't say in here, hey, sisters, E-Dog and Cynthia, or however you say her name. I know you guys are having a disagreement. You should probably find a different fellowship. No, he says, you love the Lord. Figure it out. No. I love what Jesus says. Don't bring something to the altar if you have an offense with your brother. No, go figure it out. You love the Lord. You want to hear an attribute of loving the Lord? You're okay to settle things between you and a sister or a brother. You're okay to say, man, that really is annoying. And let me just make this clear. You read this and you just assume that's going to be an easy settlement. That's not going to be an easy settlement. They've obviously been disagreeing for so long that as long as it took the letter to get to Paul, Paul wrote another letter and returned it to them because this disagreement was so harsh. And he says, will you settle your disagreement? And check this out. Not because there's peace in the church, not because it's good for you, not his reason for them settling the disagreement had nothing to do with their peace in their life. He says, settle it because you belong to God. Don't you know who you are? I love what Paul says in the book of Corinthians. He says, I hear that you guys can't even settle. So you're taking it to the public courts in front of all the world, and you're taking all these lawsuits in front of the world. He says, don't you see how shameful that is? That you belong to the Lord and you can't even settle a disagreement? That you get so offended at one another and you can't handle that? Some of us say that's immaturity. I'm gonna tell you what that really is. It's a lack of identity in Christ. It's not immaturity. No, that's a lack of identity in Christ. You belong in the Lord. Isn't it better to get ripped off than to bring shame to his bride? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about suing, says it's better to get ripped off than to publicly embarrass the whole church. Let me say this to you right now. Man, you got people you get mad at. You got disagreements, so it's just better to walk away. It's just better to go somewhere else. It's better not to be in those circles. Brother, sister, you belong to the Lord. Settle the disagreement. Doesn't say ignore the disagreement. Let me make this very clear. It doesn't say, well, you guys have been having a hard time, so just ignore it. No. Settle it. No. Bring an end to it. 1 Corinthians says, and if you are the one who gets ripped off, be okay with that. You're the one who gets the short of the stick. They offended you and they won't own it. Settle it. Let them go. Forgive them. Settle it. I want to make this clear. Don't ignore it. Don't run away from them. When they come into the church and it's your brother and you have some beef with them, don't be like, I'm not going to talk to him. No. Go and settle it. And I want to say what Jesus says. Before you bring anything to him, go settle that thing. Be done with it. Some of you guys have been carrying burdens for a long time and you're wondering why you're having a prayer problem in your closet. It's because you are not someone who recognizes your identity. You belong to the Lord. Go settle those things. I'm going to end right there. Is that cool with you guys? Can I end right there? Yeah, because, well, actually, I'll go to verse 4. I'm not, because I told you this. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. I told you I was going to read that verse. That's why I wanted to do this real quick. That beginning part of chapter 3 and the end of the chapter 3 there. He says, these are enemies of the cross, bragging about shameful things. You and I, brother, we rejoice in the Lord. And let me settle this really quick, because this is important. I grew up in church. People would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, or I rejoice in the Lord always. And for some reason in my head, I couldn't comprehend what they're saying. So it felt like this like mythical, magical stuff that like, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I didn't understand if I was happy in God or if God was happy with me, but somehow that was gonna give me strength. But what I didn't understand, and what I understand now, is that if I put my joy in the Lord, and this is what I mean, in his promises, man, I find so much joy knowing that he's returning. And I really believe this thing. So what happens? I know that my broken body that's weak, even in my old age, I can rejoice. Why? Because the Lord has promised me that he's gonna give me a new body. So what do? I put my rejoicing, not here, but in his word and what he says. And that becomes what? My strength. I know he's returning. He's going to give me a new body. I know that this old body's going to pass. This old earth's going to pass away. So what do? I believe in that, and that's where I put my joy. He is my strength. His word is my strength. Abraham had the ability to sacrifice his son on top of that mountain, which none of you have the strength to do. Why? Because the word of the Lord was upon him, and that was his strength. I know God's word. I believe it. Now I'm so strong, I can even put the one I love to the altar. This is what it means to have joy in the Lord. So what does he say to the believer? Have joy in the Lord. You don't brag about these shameful things. No, no, no. Where do you find your joy? You find your joy in the Lord God Almighty. He says, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Church, can I say this to you as an ending note? Put your joy in the word of the Lord. Let that be the thing that makes you happy. Let that be the thing that you grab a hold of. Because some of us are putting all of our joy, and this is so true, we put our joy in all these faulty things. And listen, I love vacation. I don't love money. That's the root of all evil. But I think money is great. I think having a car is awesome. I think having no problems, you know, nothing urgent, nothing that seems to be ruining my plans, I love those times. But I don't want to put my joy there. Because if my joy is in my circumstances, then my circumstances are going to end up stealing my joy. If my joy is in my appetite of my belly, then I'm going to tell you right now, my joy will be stolen by the appetite of my belly. I got to put my joy in one thing. Lord, you said that, then may I rejoice in this. I believe it. Some of you guys will never know this though, unless you start working on one thing, which is your faith. Do you believe it? Some of you guys have a hard time saying the joy of the Lord is your strength, because you don't know if you really have nailed down the truth. He's gonna come back, he's gonna return, he's gonna save me. My sins are washed away. I have joy here. So Father, I pray over all of us that God, we wanna be enemies of the cross. That God, as Paul said, no one in here would say that we're enemies of the cross. God, not one of us would say that. None of us would describe that. But Father, Paul says, I know who they are because I watch their conduct. I see how they behave. I see how they brag and what they talk about. I see what they live for. And he says, those are the enemies of the cross. God, may we not be like that, but may we be the ones that Paul addresses. Not us, though. We are citizens of heaven who are eagerly awaiting his return. And Lord, for some of us, I preach this, and there's been some conviction in our heart. God, I pray, Father, that they wouldn't think and go, oh, I guess I'm just the enemy. No, Father, I pray to that they would go, then, Father, help my unbelief. I believe, I help my unbelief. So God, I pray for those in this room who might have some conviction in this place, that their conviction, Father, would lead them to the place of repentance, turning from those things and saying, well, let me put my joy in him. Oh, let me settle my disagreements because I'm his. Let me put on this new identity. Let me, as scripture says, clothe myself in righteousness. So Father, I pray that we would be those people, citizens of heaven, and that God, we shake off the dust of everything else. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, listen, this is what we got tonight. I want you to hang out, have fun, socialize for a good bit. We only have two more Wednesday nights. Did you guys know that?